We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and John Junkin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And this particular show, we welcome three of our regular players of the game and a guest who's played before with great success, John Junkin. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, and who better? And the subject, Kenneth, is getting a good start. You like to do that, but now talk on the subject if you can. 60 seconds starting now.
Getting a good start for an actor would mean speaking, as Hamlet advises, trippingly on the tongue. And he says, do not mouth your words up, lest I would as leave the town crier spoke my lines. And do not soar the air too much with your hand, but use all gently, for remember the purpose of playing wassail is to hold us to the mirror up to nature.
John Junkin, you pressed your buzzer, but the noise wasn't there, but the light came on. What is your challenge?
I'm not allowed to challenge on overacting, so could I challenge on deviation, because he was into Hamlet's speech to the actors, and it's got nothing to do with getting a good start.
No, John, I don't think he was actually deviating from the subject of getting a good start, which he was trying to make the case that Hamlet was instructing the players in that way. So, Kenneth, you keep the subject. There are 40 seconds left. You get a point, of course, for a wrong challenge. Getting a good start, starting now.
When a meal is being prepared, it is essential that you think of starting with something which will excite the taste buds of your visitors. Now, what could be better than a little avocado pear? Perhaps vinaigrette added...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
Well, I think a lot could be better than an avocado pear. I wouldn't want an avocado pear at all.
Well, you may think there's nothing, that other things could be better, but Kenneth has decided that that's what he would like to start with, and it is still getting a good start. So, a wrong challenge, I'm afraid, Derek. Another point to Kenneth, and there are 23 seconds starting now.
But getting off to a good start when it comes to the hurdles and the racing means you must kneel ready by the starting block, and as the gun is fired, off you go, and you have a tremendous spurt, you see, because the beginning of the race does...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of beginning.
Yes, I'm afraid you said beginning when you were talking about racing.
Yes.
So Clement Freud has awfully got in with only 7 seconds to go on getting a good start, starting now.
Getting a good start is actually incredibly unimportant, because finishing is what matters. When to run in a marathon... And...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and who's ever speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Clement Freud, and at the end of the first round, he's equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams, and he also begins the next round. The subject, Clement, is krill. Can you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I knew a one-eyed javelin thrower called Sebastian Krill, and while he didn't win much, he kept the audience... permanently to attention, because they were a bit concerned about what might happen to the implement which he slung. But krill, I believe, is a term given to those fish that float in front of whales and provide sustenance, docky breaks, elevenses, afternoon tea, or whatever it is that mammals of that kind eat when they are hungry. In the Pacific Ocean, not to mention the Atlantic and the Indian one, and quite particularly around Mauritius and Réunion, although there have been sightings in Guadeloupe and Martinique, krill of various colours, but...
With 5.5 seconds to go, Derek, you got in with the challenge. What was it?
Well, hesitation.
Yes, it was, of course. And you have 5.5 seconds on krill, starting now.
Well, krill is what I would have if I was having a good start to a meal. They're absolutely delicious. If you go to a restaurant like Croisette or...
So, Derek Nimmo now has 2 points, and he's joined Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams in the lead, and John Junkin, who's yet to score, starts the next round. John, the subject is video games. Can you tell us something about that popular pastime in our game, starting now?
I personally consider video games to be a very pernicious pastime. They are dangerous video games because they are time-consuming. One sits before the set holding some sort of device in one's hand where you push a button or pull a lever, and you are intended to destroy space invaders, eat gorillas, climb ladders, be bombed, sink submarines, destroy Superman.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of destroy.
Yes, I'm afraid you did say destroy
did
before.
Oh,
yes,
dear.
Yes. So, Clement, a correct challenge, another point, 32 seconds, video games starting now.
It is an extraordinary thing that the younger you are, the more expert you tend to be in the manifestation and participation in video games. I have a grandchild called Tom, although I have another called Jack, whom I would hate to be thought not to mention on a program with the wide appeal of this one.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
We're talking about video games, not a big catalogue of his family.
Yes. I do
there
think
are the only members of my family who play video games.
Yes, I do think he had deviated from the games to the family, which is another pastime, of course, but it's not the subject on the card. So, Derek, I agree with your challenge, and you have 12 seconds on video games starting now.
I knew a boy called Tom who was frightfully good at playing video games, and I used to watch with tremendous admiration because it's very interesting that as you...
John Junkin challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation? He was going so fast we could hardly get a... Word,
there was a distinct hesitation there. He was searching for
if
a word.
If I was going as slow as Freud, I mean, he'd go...
He's actually talking quite normally, Derek. They're playing him at the wrong speed.
I disagree, John. A good attempt, but 5 seconds are left with Derek Nimmo on video games starting now.
I started playing video games.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
What from?
The way he spoke before.
Yes. As it's not a deviation within the game, I think we give Clement a bonus point for a good challenge, which we enjoyed, but leave the subject fairly with Derek Nimmo, and 2 seconds to go, starting now.
Space Invaders seems to be terribly popular. I never quite know why.
Well, Derek Nimmo has now taken the lead at the end of that round, and he also begins the next round. The subject is 9 green bottles. Derek, would you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Well, actually, my 9 green bottles were a Christmas present to me from Miss Freddie Baring, who worked for the City and Guilds, and I thought it was very charming. Actually, when they started out, there were 10 green bottles, but one green bottle did accidentally fall, and so there are only now...
John Junkin challenge.
Deviation. He's talking about 10 green bottles and not 9 green bottles.
I'm sorry, John, I can't agree with you. Derek keeps the subject, 45 seconds.
Why are you being so charitable?
I'm
not to me.
You're not normally nice to me. Why are you giving me a point? I refuse to accept your charity. Give it to John Junkin. I'm not having charity from you, Parsons.
Derek, I've never been charitable to you.
I'm not going to be fair within the game. I'm not having a handout. No, I'm not having charity. I'm sorry. You give it to John Junkin. You're being patronizing. That's what you're being. You're patronizing.
They'll say anything to get a laugh.
Nicholas Parsons.
Derek Nimmo, you... Derek, you have fairly won that point, but if you wish to hand it to John Junkin...
No.
You want it back again now,
yes,
do you?
Yes, please, I'd like it back now.
45 seconds, starting now.
Well, the first bottle that I opened came from South Australia, from the Barossa Valley, prepared by Windy Hill Smith, and it was called Yolumba, and it's a particularly good kind of Cabernet Sauvignon. The second bottle came from Bordeaux. And that gave me a particular pleasure because it was a Premier Cru, which I believe was called Autrion. Might have come from O'Brien originally, the family, so they say, from Ireland, but they went out there to France and they've prospered since. The third one that I found couldn't have been more exciting. It was a bottle of Taylor's 45, excellent port, from an old English family that went out to Portugal some 200 years ago, I believe, and they still ship back, often send their wines in fortified, of course, to Colchester. Now, the fourth one, very fascinating.
Yeah. Derek Nimmo was again speaking as the whistle wind gained another extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, your turn to begin, and the subject is chain letters. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Chain letters have always seemed to me to be the most pernicious form of swindle, in that people write to you and say, if this...
Derek Nimmo, chance.
Hesitation.
A bit mean.
All right.
No, I think it was a bit mean, too. I don't think you really hesitated enough to be a fault in the game. So, Clement, you continue with 52 seconds on chain letters, starting now.
Threatening dire consequences if you do not send on the envelope containing a £20 note or even more. I have always felt that chain letters would be quite acceptable if the content were something other than money. And I might suggest pea soup or mashed potatoes. It would be exceedingly pleasant to get such a product through the post. And if four of your best...
John Junkin, challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
From sense. Who wants to get pea soup through the post?
Is he right?
I should think probably it's illegal to send pea soup through the post, wouldn't you, in an envelope?
That too, yes.
I don't think he was deviating within the rules of the game, because you can be as fantastic as you like as long as you don't deviate from the subject. So chain letters are still with you, Clement, and there are 26 seconds left, starting now.
A freezer envelope stuffed into manila brown paper covering, bearing a 12.5p stamp, redolent...
John Junkin has challenged.
Repetition of pea.
Pea soup is hyphenated, and he said pea then. That'll be your argument, won't it?
Yes, it would.
John Junkin, you have a correct challenge.
What?
16 seconds. Chain letters, starting now.
Chain letters?
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
No. He's our guest, and we're getting him going. There are 14 and a half seconds on chain letters, John, starting now.
Chain letters are immoral and conceivably illegal, in that anyone who sends a chain letter is virtually blackmailing the recipient of the said missive to send various objects or money or goodwill through the post.
So John Junkin was speaking as a whistle wind, gained that all-important extra point, and he's still in third place. John, you're one ahead of Kenneth Williams, and Clement Freud is in second place behind Derek Nimmo. But, John, you begin the next round. The subject is spoiling the goldfish.
Spoiling the goldfish?
Yes, I do actually say have to say start now, because then Ian Messiter presses the nipple on his watch and we all start going. Spoiling the goldfish, John, starting now.
Spoiling the goldfish is a phrase that could be taken one of two ways. If by spoiling the goldfish you mean overindulging it in the way that some parents do with children, usually an only child, then it is possible to spoil the goldfish by providing it with, shall we say, a bowl made of the finest crystal, or importing from the Appalachian Mountains pure spring water for the Piscean creature to indulge itself in. Or else one could provide it with a certain amount of food.
Derek Nimmo.
Repetition of provide.
Yes, you were providing once before, I'm afraid, John.
It is true.
So Derek got it with 27 seconds left. Spoiling the goldfish, Derek, starting now.
I was taught how to spoil goldfish by Nicholas Parsons' wife, Denise. She said you take a pair of scissors and you cut off their tails and their fins, and then they're thoroughly spoiled.
Clement...
Deviation. I know Denise Breyer quite well, and she'd never suggest anything so horrible. I mean, that's really horrible, and I know Denise would never suggest cutting their tails off. I know she would.
No, he just, wanted to work it into the programme again.
Just wanted to work it into the programme. All he done.
Yes. So I agree with Kenneth's challenge, and I think I'm probably more qualified to judge. So
Kenneth, I wasn't deviating from the subject, was I?
He was on the subject, but it was deviation within
that
subject.
You're just protective about your wife.
Don't you be browbeaten, Nicholas.
He doesn't like me mentioning his wife.
I've been browbeaten in this game for 13 years now.
Well, don't stand for it. Pick up yourself.
I still make decisions.
He knows that I lust after his wife. That's why I don't.
On that particular point, let me tell you that I think Kenneth Williams has the subject, and there are 18 seconds left, starting now.
Spoiling the goldfish is done by putting too much of the food into the water. Now, people who really know, I'm a veterinary man,
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think I would agree.
Well, I
on
wasn't
that
sure
one.
Whether it was a bat or an aquarian that dragged me. That's what done me. You understand my point.
That last laugh, by the way, I must tell our listeners, because Kenneth was overwhelmed and actually kissed Clement Freud. And, well, it might be good on television. It doesn't have much effect on radio.
Doesn't have much effect on Clement Freud, either.
You don't think Kenneth Williams would do it if he thought it did have much effect? There are 5 seconds to go for you, Clement, on spoiling the goldfish, starting now.
Spoiling the goldfish would come about...
John Junkin Chum.
Hesitation.
No. 2 seconds, Clement, on spoiling the goldfish, starting now.
If you cook them without salt.
Well, Clement Freud got 2 or 3 points in that round, including one when the whistle went. He's creeping up on a leader, Derek Nimmo. Kenneth and John are trailing a little. Derek begins the next round, and the subject is a jumper. Can you tell us something about that, Derek, starting now?
Well, sometimes you use the word jumper when you're referring to a woolly, don't you, really? The sort of thing that you wear across your chest with your arms sticking through no sleeves, if you get the idea. The my favourite ones come to the... from the Fair Isles in the Shetlands. I think they're awfully nice. There's lovely woolly...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, it's one or t'other.
What is?
It's Fair Islands or the Shetland Islands.
Well, it's in the Fair Isles or in the Shetlands, Great.
The Fair Isles.
It's one of the little strongholds, isn't it? You ought to know. You haven't got many places.
Well, try, Clement. Derek... 45 seconds are left, a jumper starting now.
Came very popular, of course, with Brideshead Revisited, didn't they? All those things came...
Clement Freud challenge.
Second, didn't they? This is rather an interrogation on Inquisition. It's meant to be a panel game.
Second, didn't they?
You said didn't they before.
When? Last Tuesday, yes.
I don't remember him saying it. I must be...
Well, your memory is defective. I think that is very
concerned. I'm not only uncharitable, I'm mentally defective and everything else, but that's the reason I have the job, because if you had a sane, intelligent person trying to control this game, it would probably not be rather boring. Derek, you have 42 seconds on a jumper starting now.
One of the best jumps I ever had was a goldfish. I cut its tail off, and you should have seen it leap in the air. My goodness, it was a sight.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. We all know the goldfish aren't jumpers, and so it's a very silly thing to say. Very foolish.
Well, that's didn't one of they? Those things. We know he didn't...
Well, you wouldn't define a goldfish as a jumper, would you?
Well, if you cut his tail off and he jumped, you say, my lord, there goes a jumper. Yes, I mean, now I think his fantasy is taking all right, but he's still keeping on the subject.
I didn't mention your wife, did I? It's all right. It's only when I couple goldfish with his wife that he objects. He doesn't like his wife coupling with goldfish.
You made a statement of fact before, which was incorrect. You would say that you weren't making a statement of fact on that occasion. So, Derek, you have 35 seconds of jumper starting now.
Of course, a lot of marsupials are jumpers. Wombats. Aren't they fun? Don't you love them? Lovely creatures. And then, particularly, I've noticed in the Antipodes, the kangaroo. They jump tremendously.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
I don't know. I mean...
It was about time we stopped him.
Did go on a bit.
Yes, yes.
The kangaroo, they jump. A lot of that.
Well, kangaroos are jumpers, aren't they? For goodness sake.
Yes, I really don't think, in order to be fair, I don't think I can actually give it against him. So he has to continue with 20 seconds on a jumper starting now.
Beecher's Brook, Valentine's, the water.
John Junkin.
They're not jumpers, they're jumps.
Yes, they are jumpers.
The horses are jumpers that go over. And I didn't tell you
you weren't talking about the horses, you were talking about the jumps.
Yeah, you said you started off with Beecher's and you were establishing in our mind that that was a jumper, so we leave it with John Junkin now.
Captain Beecher was a jumper. That's why it was called Beecher's Brook, because Captain Beecher used to jump over them.
No, he jumped into it.
Derek, you've had a good innings on that subject, and we're giving the benefit of the doubt to John Junkin, our guest, and 18 seconds on a jumper, John, starting now.
Jumpers in my youth were very antisocial, principally because the fashion at the time was for the young lady always to wear a sweater or jumper made of Angora wool. generally light blue in colour, and the fashion for gentlemen at the time...
Derek Nimmo, Charlie.
Fashion.
Fashion, I'm sorry. Yes, and he's got in with 3 seconds to go, a jumper, Derek, starting now.
I shouldn't think there were many jumpers in John Justin's youth. They probably wore woes.
Well, Derek Nimmo has shot into a very extended lead at the end of that round with all the wrong challenges and one for speaking as the whistle went. Kenneth, you begin the next round. The subject is what I never write in my diary. What a difficult, revealing subject for just a minute. Tell us, if you can, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, life is full of the prosaic, the mundane, the often boring, is it not? So one doesn't confine that to one's diary. I certainly wouldn't put down the details or become discursive about an experience which I'd found rather dreary. That would not find its way into my diary. I would confine it, you see, to those...
Clement Freud.
To confine.
I didn't. I said confide to my diary, and the second time I said confine, and that's an ain, and not a day, and I will not be picked up like this. It is absolutely disgraceful.
It's not at all disgraceful, but it's incorrect.
Yes.
So... So you have a point for a wrong challenge, so I wouldn't get
good.
Too hot on the collar, but continue with the subject with 31 seconds left, starting now.
Also, what I would not put in my diary would be the sums of money involved in certain purchases. I'll tell you for why. Now then, I get very guilty about overspending, so I would not want to remind myself of excessive purchases. You see.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Well, it sounded like purchases twice, but I expect it wasn't.
I think the friendly cuddle that Kenneth gave you indicates that he does agree with that challenge. So, Clement, you're in with 10 seconds to go on what I never write in my diary, starting now.
It is almost essential never to write anything that anybody might pick up and use in evidence against you. And therefore, breakfast, lunch, tea, and dinner are meals which...
Well, Clement gained points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. He's creeping up on our leader, Derek Nimmo, and John Junkin and Kenneth Williams are trailing a little. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is weights. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
An awful lot of fuss is made about weights, and people come up to you and say... You are too heavy, far too fat, carried...
John Junkin.
Repetition of two.
Yes, but we don't bother with those...
Why is it you never bother when I challenge, and you do when other people challenge?
Well, we let little words go. If it goes on for more than a couple of times, then I think we might go. And also, it only just started. So, I tell you what, as you're the guest, John, we won't charge any...
Oh, I think you should charge him, especially...
All right, now. Then. Give Clement Freud another point. I don't... This is the last round. I don't think it'll make
he's
any difference to the
win,
result.
He's not going to win, is he? I mean, he's
no,
not going
to no.
win.
Can I just tell the audience that on a previous broadcast, Tim Rice, who happens to be rich and famous and powerful, challenged somebody on yo-yo for repetition of yo, and he allowed it.
I thought that was a very clever challenge, yes.
Brilliant.
Now, are we playing the rules, or are we playing your opinion?
Well, my opinion comes into every judgment, I'm afraid.
This is unfair. It's
an impossible game on which to be the chairman, and I, you know, as I said, they can't find any other sucker who'll take it on, so I continue. And
what I want to know is how much you usually charge. I didn't know that you had a fee for this. You just said... I'm not going to charge you anything for this, John.
I mean, well, I did offer, Derek.
If he'd offered you more money, would you have given him a point? That's what I want to know.
Oh, you mean, money in the game? Well, I have to earn a living somehow. I mean, you don't think the BBC pay me to do this job, do you?
I should hope not. No. I should think you're probably paid by Capital Radio to keep their figures up.
I might get some money now from sensitive listeners in all those far-flung parts of the... old...
Hesitation. Oh, sorry.
Right. Anyway, send your donations in a sealed envelope. There are 52 seconds left for the subject of weights with you, Clement, starting now.
On Liverpool Street Station, there's a weighing machine above which you will find a chart indicating what should be the ideal weight for your height. And for the first time ever, I actually discovered I weigh precisely the correct amount, only I am 9.5 inches too small. As a result of this, I obviously have the alternative of going to a hat shop and purchasing some headgear which would bring me up to 6'7.5". Alternatively, investing substantial sums of money and going to a health resort where such manifestations as are exercised by massage, sauna, yoga, and probably yogurt as well would cause me to shrink in avoirdupois to such an extent where the...
Well, Clement Freud kept going with great style and panache to finish that round, gain an extra point. In fact, he started with the subject and finished with it, which is an achievement in itself. And he also brought the show to an end with a resounding, what can we call it?
Fut.
With great style. Clement, alas, you didn't finish in the lead, but you almost overtook our leader. Let me tell you that John Junkin and Kenneth Williams finished equally in third place, a little way behind Clement Freud, who was only 3 points behind this week's winner, who was Derek Nimmo. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and will want to tune in again same time next week when we take to the air and we play this delightful and impossible game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.